Good morning, everyone. We're going to be starting the meeting today. The Palm Tran Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board. Right now, we're going to go around and do a roll call. So if we can start with Bobby.
Yeah, Janice will call the roll.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder.
We changed everyone.
Thomas.
Here, present.
Deidre Gibson. Richard Hart. Angelita Ward. Nancy Wiseman.
Here.
Maron Neilberg.
Here.
Sharon Green.
Here.
David Rafados.
Present.
Shane Searchwell.
Present.
Bobby Valentine.
Here.
David Evans.
Here.
Betty Jones.
Here.
Dominique Thomas. Karen Hugo.
Here.
We have a call.
Next, we're going to do a motion to adopt the agenda for June 10th. With one alteration, we're going to be taking out the presentation under 3B. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, David with the motion and Bobby with the second. Next, we'll do the motion to approve the minutes. Does everybody get a chance to review the minutes?
Motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, and a second by David. David?
Yes.
David. And then David. I think most people have heard, but there was some sad news that had happened last week. One of our really strong advocates, Larry Osband, has passed away. He's been somebody that has really done a phenomenal job just being a true advocate for transportation. He's been the leader when we take our Tallahassee trip every single year. He's been very strong in making sure everybody knew where they were going. He was a person that when he said he was going to do something, he always followed through on it. It was very unexpected, but he went in for some surgery, and it didn't turn out the way that it was expected to go. So it was just sad to hear of his passing. And
where
he just had his memorial service last week.
There was a memorial service?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd known.
The next thing we wanted to address is absences. We've had some people on the board not attending as many meetings, and it's part of the board rules that if you miss more than three meetings, then you no longer can be on this board. So we just want to remind everybody, please make sure that they attend as many meetings as you can. Now we'll go to item E, general public comments. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go to action items, 2A. Motion to approve the 2014-2015 Community Transportation Coordination Evaluation.
Do you need a motion, sir?
I think we're going to do a presentation.
So we just have here basically the general summary of the findings that we have. So between MPO staff, volunteers from the local coordinating board, and also South Florida Community Services, which specialize in surveying, we had 235 random telephone calls to survey riders who used Palm Tran Connection during the month of May. We had 80 survey responses. Overall, the score between a 1 to 10 was an 8.1, so scored pretty well. The basic feedback that we got was folks would like shorter hold times for riders calling Palm Tran Connection, especially during peak hours. Also to improve update GPS systems, because some of the maps, there's some new roads and facilities that haven't been updated yet in the system, so they had some complications with that, especially for the northern and western parts of the county. Also to improve trip optimization, so sometimes the riders express that it takes a lot longer to get to their destination, oftentimes passing destinations en route to pick up or drop off another rider. And another suggestion that we received was to work with contractors to improve driver training regarding working with disabled riders, riders speaking other languages, driver safety, and customer service skills. So those were the general comments that we got from the overall feedback for improvement from the 80 responses that we actually got through to.
Can I just, we did a couple updates since then. With the hold times, actually, we are hiring 3 new reservationists to make us fully at our complement, which is good. Also, we tested something in the last week where during the peak hours, especially at 3 to 5, we're actually just booking the day after, so one day, instead of, you know, people booking 7 days in advance. And we've seen a great improvement on the hold times because of that. So we're trying to think a little innovatively. We're allowed to book one day out, according to the ADA. We actually, our policy is 7 days out, which, you know, people call and they want to book their whole week, so it takes a long time. So during those peak hours, actually 7, 8 in the morning, we've tried it, and 3 to 5, we just tell them we're booking for the next day right now. So if you want to call tomorrow on the off-peak, we can, you know, book your week trips and things like that. It seems to really help. And on the other issue with the maps, we actually implemented a new map last week. So a brand new map that has, I'm not going to say everything, but a lot more, it's a lot better than the old map. It was like 5 or 6 years old. So we're looking to improve those anyway. So,
how frequent is the GPS system updated?
It's not an easy process, so we don't do it frequently. Plus, you know, it brings other issues of, you know, compatibility with our previous map, but every few years we try to.
Okay.
And again, it's based on the county map, so it's something we get from the county, so it should have everything, at least to the point we get it, and we have to test it, make sure it works in our system. And then there's always, like, some changes in how it geocodes, but this one was actually pretty smooth.
Are there any other comments from the members?
Yes, I'd like to thank you for moving the win other meetings back to Wednesday, or other than Thursday.
Okay. And Nancy?
I actually conducted 10 of those calls, and it was a very positive experience. People were happy. And even when one couldn't call me, he said, will you please try to reach me again? So I really want to tell you how happy I am. And I tried, but he didn't. But the one thing that did come up, and it was more of a system type of question, is what kind of empowerment do the drivers have when the map makes no sense? You know, when the law, the order, is just thrown off. Like, are they encouraged to call and get approval to change? Because that was one of the issues that came up in a few calls.
And they should. We asked them to. We also asked the dispatchers to look at the route and you know, give it effort to see if logically what the driver's saying makes sense. Because sometimes it might not make sense in the bigger picture, and sometimes it does. And in those cases, we do try to get everybody down the chain to make those accommodations, because when Yvette and her staff are scheduling them, they may not realize that, or may not see that in that order. And, you know, it's not a problem to rearrange the trips. And having the MDTs on board, as soon as they change in our system, it's automatically sent to the driver.
Because the drivers, you see that as customer service to respond to something that doesn't make
Correct.
Sense.
Correct, yes.
And they get, that's a good thing, not like a...
Exactly.
All
right. David?
I'm not sure if this is the proper place to bring it up, but it's the perception sometimes of what's happening on the routes. And I think you guys know about what happened at the Community Services Department when apparently a vehicle ran out of gas. And so the vehicle ran out of the gas, the lady was waiting. That was a little bit of an issue, but I think that could be resolved. The bigger issue was everybody else that was over there saying, these vehicles run out of gas? How, you know, they don't feel comfortable. You know, they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to have my mom or someone else ride it. If a person doesn't know, why can't she get some gas? You know, what was she doing? You know, and I was like... That's another issue, right? But it was the perception that a vehicle ran out of gas on the route. It was like, how would you know? And I didn't know the rest of the story to it, right? But I was like, contact you guys, handle it. The perception part it's something else. I don't know how you deal with that. But.
Other than just to say it's that's something that should never happen, and luckily it's an extremely rare occurrence that it does. We have vehicles where the driver calls, you know, after they've been on the road for a short period of time, saying, well, I've got to run out of gas. And, you know, unfortunately, we do have to make those accommodations, and then we go after the contractors to light it, and why didn't you fill it up, and light it, and the driver make sure it had a full tank before they left your yard in the morning. So hopefully those are extremely rare, if ever.
I'm just saying with the perception.
Oh, no, I understand the perception. It's just one of those.
That were out there, like, and everybody else was like, oh, well, why did you run out of gas?
You know, like, especially with our propane vehicles, because we're not getting the gas mileage.
That was the whole thing. You're like,
you're not getting the gas mileage? You should?
That we thought we would, and actually we're looking to have somebody study that and find out why not. Mm-hmm. But minor issue in the greater scheme of things, but
well,
yes.
What about the buses that the regular buses, they use propane. Are you getting the mileage?
Then we're going to save that for a different, that's not part of this motion, though, so we're just discussing this.
So that was just two different things. One is routes, you know, and how they travel, which is good as far as what you're mentioning, stuff like that. The other one is we want a positive perception that our system is great, it works, go join us, you know, that kind of thing. And, that wasn't a good deal on that day.
Are there any more comments from members? David Evans?
It's just that we need to try to get back, I think, to the policy of not going past people's destinations to drop other people off. I myself have experienced a few trips where I've been taken more than 8 miles past, going right past my house where I could spit in my yard, and to drop somebody else off, only to turn around and come right back. I mean, we're covering the same territory twice. That's a waste of gas, waste of time. It's more exposure for our clients and our drivers to the hazards of the road and everything. So we should definitely think about that and make sure that we empower the drivers so that if they recognize an efficiency such as that, that they're able to contact their dispatcher, get it okay, and change the routing just a little bit to take advantage of that. That's one of my observations and comments that I bring to the board as a consumer advocate. I see that happen many times. It's happened to me, and I see it happen to others. And I think that would help to improve our efficiency as well as the perception by the riders themselves that we're doing all the right things in the right order.
Do we have any reason for why that happens, or
we would have to look at it a case by case basis. The database does call that a backtracking error, so it is on the screen saying the driver's going too far out of their way to backtrack to come back where they were. We see, you know, system wide, no, but on a case by case basis, you know, as we're told, we look into it and then we can explain, you know, why it was routed in such a manner. Like some gated communities, you know, it takes so long to get to the person's house, and if you got another pickup in there later, you might as well drive down the road, drop something off, then come back and go into that neighborhood once. Excuse me, especially the larger communities like that. So when I'm saying that happens all the time, and it obviously is not the case that Dave is describing, but, you know, just as it occurs, we look into it and find out why. But just, you know, when that was being laid out, what was believed to be the most efficient.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes the way we see it is that next person has to be picked up at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
So we remember everything is based on time. So it's not only the individual person that's on that vehicle right then or where we're, it's where we're going and where we're going after that and then all of that. So you have to think about that as well. I had someone call me and said, they're going to pass my house. Well, that was way on jog and they were going to the school board over here on Summit. So because they passed Summit, they thought that it was right around the corner. So sometimes it's the perception of the rider, but sometimes it's in fact what Dave is saying when you're very close. However, maybe in this situation, again, if Dave brings it to us, we'll look at it. That next person that is being picked up, it might be close to their window to pick them up. because they need to be somewhere on time at that time.
Exactly.
So that those are the type of things. So by dropping you off at your house, that might have made that next person late that we're trying to pick up. So, you know, we have to look at every trip, not just look at it singularly. But if it's brought to us, we always look at it and try and fix it. So.
That's where having knowledgeable drivers counts so much, because they get to know the territory. They can't help it. They drive it every day, and they're going to learn the little shortcuts. They're going to learn where people live, because especially when they carry the same people over and over again. They can see some of these things that sometimes can't be seen, I think, by the people in the office.
And now that things have settled out with the service, we are looking at getting back to having more discussions with drivers as far as the routing and what they see. So, you know, we'll have that up and running before the next meeting.
I will bring this comment back, though, too, that as I ride the vehicles, I talk to the drivers, I talk to the passengers and everything to get their feel for how we're, you know, what kind of a job we're doing. And overall, we're doing a very good job. Okay, people are happy. People are getting where they need to go for the most part, and without a lot of problems. And some of the things that go on, they do understand it and have no complaint with it. But I do see such things, as I said, as passing right by someone's destination to drop somebody else off. I mean, we're going out of our way to do this, and it's something that we should try to correct if at all possible. It would add to our efficiency.
And I think, John, like you mentioned, the discussions with the drivers, that certainly will help, because the
excuse me, could you speak up, because some of you speak very softly.
Okay,
and I can't
out.
Hear.
Yes, I'll get it out.
I can't hear you.
All right, what I was saying was the discussions that he's planning to have with the drivers, I think that will help because the changes are logistical changes that are going to happen every day. Somebody has a change in schedule or needs to be somewhere at a certain time. Those things, if you don't address those, then you're not serving one part. They're going to be upset as well. So I think it boils down to really communicating the logistical challenges that they face, and making sure that everyone understands that they're trying to support the entire community.
We're going to have two more comments, and then we're going to go on to the next thing. Mike?
Comment? Yes. You have to realize there's an apparent bad routing when you're going past within spitting distance of your house. And I've had it happen to me, but I always look to where the driver has to go afterwards. Because if he's going to somewhere that's out of the way, going past me, and this is where I am, but the next person, as Lou brought out, you have to look at where it's going afterwards, because it can be that by going to your house, there won't be any duplication, but by going to your house, there will be duplication, because what's going to happen is the person afterwards is in direction back the other way, so you're seesawing back and forth. So there's a difference between apparent passing the area or actual inefficiency. And that's the thing we have to look to. But the main thing is to have people who are dispatchers realize that when there is an error, they should pick it up and not just say, follow what it says on there and forget it. We've always had the policy that if it doesn't make sense overall, that the dispatcher should take a look and see if there is a reason that it should be changed right then and there, and not just automatically say, follow what it says. And I've seen indications or examples of both of them.
Okay. And last comment, David?
I just wanted to say that yesterday, I experienced this situation for the first time. I don't know if anybody else has. I got my reminder call last night, and as I listened to it, I realized that being picked up at the wrong address. And so I, after the announcement and everything,
I had to hang up, call back, and press option one to get someone and to tell them what the situation was, that they had me being picked up at the wrong address according to the callback. And we took a look at it and corrected that for today. I think most people, you know, if they listen to that, if there's something wrong, what do?
Actually, at the end, you can press zero and go right to a reservationist.
I don't recall that it said that in the announcement.
Yeah. But that's exactly what you did is what you should do. You just, that's one of the reasons why we do it. Call ahead. If it's wrong, then you can fix it before the trip starts. That's great.
Are there any comments from the members of the public regarding the CTC evaluation? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to look for a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Motion from David and David. Rapidius and
David and Bobby second.
Next, we're going to go on to a presentation about the 2015-2016 trip rates by Mike Bertelli.
Basically, as a CTC, we are required to fulfill one of the obligations for the Transportation Commissioner, and this is what we call the rate model. The basis of the rate model is to look at a point in time when we can collect our data, and this time we looked at it for fiscal year 2014 and the budget 2015, and of course our proposed 2016. And what we do is consolidate all the expenses, the revenues we expect to see, and the anticipated grant numbers that we will receive. We take these numbers and we plug it into the system that they provide us for, and what it does in turn, it gives us what we can bill for in the next TD invoicing period. And that's the whole purpose of this exercise, is to get a number in terms of what we can bill for in terms of trip dollars, wheelchair versus ambulatory and bus passes. So when we submit our invoices the next invoice time, we have to put the appropriate numbers on there in order to get a reimbursement from the TD commissioner. And you can see we didn't change that much year over year. I think it was a slight change of 6% year over year. And the reason, as you're well aware, a slight increase in expenses because of the new rate model that was put in place. And that's basically it for this time.
Are there any comments from the board? Seeing none, are there any comments from the public?
There is. Do you have one?
Yes, Bob.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's because you don't have a lot of scooters. But I'm put down as a wheelchair, not a scooter. And is that because there's not a lot of scooters?
No, we have many codes for different wwheelchair, scooter, wide wheelchair. Not in a wheelchair, but still needs. But you're saying in the reservations process.
Reservation.
They should ask you and just tell them, no, you're in a scooter. And then we change that in the system.
Okay. I was just curious.
But we'll make sure that you do show as a scooter. They might be saying wheelchair just to shorten it to the conversation, but they should specify scooter.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the trip
rate? Motion.
Second. Okay, motion by Bobby and a second by Mike Nadelberg. Yeah, you're right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thanks. Do we need to do that for any other previous ones? Should we?
If you would like to.
Okay. We're going to go back to the motion to approve the CTC evaluation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, also passes unanimously. Thank you for pointing that out. All right. Now we're action item C2C, amendment to the 2014-2015 Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan. We're going to be having a presentation by Valerie.
Sure. So this item is our previous meeting. At our previous meeting, we approved the 2014-2015 TDSP. We're doing an amendment to that document because of the CTC evaluation and the 2015-2016 trip rates to include them in the 2014-2015 TDSP. And also, we did some minor updates on some other items, numbers that we found that were a little outdated. So it's just an amendment to the document that...
What was outdated?
Like, the trip rates were outdated. There were some... I don't know, we found some typos. There was just some administrative things that we made besides including the new CTC evaluation summary and the new trip rates.
Oh, I was just interested in what was outdated. I'd like to...
The trip rates were outdated that were included in there, so we updated them.
Okay.
And,
David? You know, when I re-reviewed it, I concentrated on three of the maps, and I thought they were phenomenal. I'm not sure who did those maps, but good job. All right. The one ahead about the minority, the one by seniors, and the other one by low income, poverty. And it led me to think, all this great information is visually there, right? But I don't know how many clients are in each one of those areas. So we have something good as far as a baseline, what we're seeing. I'd like to see an overlay of how many clients that we have that are being in these geographic areas. Only for me to see, is there a gap? Is there something else that we could be doing either PR-wise or... through our senior services division, that was going to be my next question, is can you tell me, I don't have it, I like to overlay it on our map, of how many seniors are actually using that or are involved so that maybe we could get additional grant money or some other complementary services to help those seniors, not only for transportation but other things.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to PalmTran Connection, they gave me some great data on their TD trips in March. So I overlaid exactly what you're saying on top of those census blocks. So you could visually see, you know, each dot represented either the origin or the destination of a trip. So you could see where people were flowing to. And that was only TD trips, and that was a pretty large log. I think it was like 14,000 trips in March. And that's not ADA, which is another topic. That's for the PTSD. But, you know... they are doing a lot, and a lot of those trips are originating from Loxahatchee, and, you know, but it's something I think I could provide you behind the scenes, and, you know, if you needed stuff for your organization, that'd be great.
Well, I was also thinking about, as communities are building out or being planned, where we're locating those transportation networks and also what services are going along with it, because if it's a senior population or if they... like right now, I can tell you how many disabled individuals are in Century Village or, you know, different senior communities. And I use that for emergency operations purposes, right? So if we have to distribute food, water, or other supplies, I can tell you this is how many individuals are going to need it. But it'd be nice to be able to say, here's another feature that goes along with it. That's all.
We should work together. I think you have data that I would like, and I have something that you would like. So.
Okay. All right, so we'll make sure Mr. Charles knows about that.
Are there any more comments from the board?
Motion to approve.
Any comments from the public? And for this one, we're going to need to do a roll call vote.
We have a motion, though, and then we'll second it. We'll
okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, second by Sharon Green.
Thomas?
Yeah, approved.
Deidre Gibson, Richard Hart, Angelita Ward, Nancy Wiseman,
approved.
Mike Nagelberg.
Aye.
Sharon Green.
Approved.
Yes. David, yes.
Rotatus.
Yes.
Approve.
Yes. Shane Searchwell.
Approve.
Bobby Valentine.
Yes.
David Evans.
Yes.
Betty Jones.
Yes.
Dominique Thomas. Karen Hugo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the motion approved. Is approved. Now we're going to go into item 3A, information items. We're going to have a CTC update by the Pomtrans staff.
All right, we'll do both 1 and 2 together. And everybody should have the handout for our monthly operating reports. We'll start with March 2015. And the page numbers at the top, page 2. The average weekday ridership is pretty much equal to last year at 2,990 completed passenger trips.
There, you know, one second, we'll just pass out of here real quick.
Does everybody have some? Is he carrying them?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Please continue.
Excuse me, this is a dumb question, but which is red and which is blue? Is blue last year?
Red
or
is red? Red is the previous 12 months, and blue is the
correct.
13 months before that.
Okay. You didn't put a legend, so I didn't know which is which.
Down in the lower
bottom
corner.
Bottom left.
Oh, there it is. I didn't. Sorry, I'm getting
it's okay.
old.
It's all right.
Getting blind.
Page 3, our total monthly ridership, 74,530 completer passenger trips, an increase of 1,567 trips over last year. So our monthly ridership has gone up a little also. Now on page 4, our monthly on-time performance for the month averaged 95%, an increase over both February and over the previous year's numbers. Page 5, that is our accident ratio. Now, our accident ratio has been higher than standards, but keep in mind most of these are not passenger-involved accidents. These are accidents in the parking lot of the contractors. The mirrors on our new vehicles are much wider than the previous vehicles that Metro Mobility used to have, so a lot of mirrors were clipping each other, a lot of stuff like that. So these are most are not passenger related. They're, you know, poles jumping out behind the vehicle, stuff like that. So you know, my point is minor in nature. And then on page 6, you kind of get a breakdown of that: backing, side swipe, single vehicle accidents. Pages 7 and pages 8, that is our road call. Page 7 by vendor, just to give you an idea of that. And now our road calls, as you see on page 8, are below standards, but it is a brand new fleet, so that would be expected. And actually, this was brought up earlier, as you see, as far as our breakdowns, the top breakdown was vehicles not having fuel. And I believe the contractors have taken great efforts to rectify that. Page 9, that is our program that we started a while back, which anybody who has an ADA eligibility can write fixed route for free. So as you see, that continues to slowly climb up. And we did see a decrease in our ridership when we initially instituted that, and it has kind of leveled off. But it is still increasing, and any increase in that is taking some pressure off of the paratransit service, and the customers are writing fixed route. I will momentarily divert to Michael Bertelli to talk about bus pass sales.
I'm actually on page 10, and if you can turn to that, you can see for the month of March, we had a total bus pass sales of 23,791. Up against the prior month of February for about a little over $6,000. There's two factors that influenced that. One, the charter schools came in and bought a bulk purchase, and that would influence the volume at any point in time. And the agencies. The agencies is predicated on when funds become available to them, they will make purchases periodically through the year. So those two factors coupled together will influence why we grew by the 6,000 bus passes from month to month.
Can I ask a question? Mike, I'm curious about the charter schools. Can you tell me a little bit about the clientele?
These are the recipient agreement that PalmTrans has with each of the schools that was negotiated with the specific charter school where they can come here and get passes through PalmTrans, now PalmTrans Connection. Sometimes it's at a reduced rate. It depends on what the situation is with that route.
Okay,
each school is different.
Okay, so the bus passes, like total bus passes, are not necessarily just TD, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Pages 11 and 12, those are two new reports we were asked to add. 11 being not only how late the vehicles were as a percentage, but by numbers also, so you can get an idea. David?
Yeah, once again, I found page 12, the connection trip by purpose, by time of day. What's the time of day?
Oh, that's misstated. I didn't catch that. Thank you. Now, that is actually our ridership by program.
Right.
So as was said earlier, the vast majority of our trips are ADA. The next largest program at 14% is transportation disadvantage, and then DOS trips.
Okay.
We need to retitle that.
I was thinking, was it 8 to 9, 15, 11, or whatever? Is that available, though?
We can do that. I don't know if that's something we would need to report. No, it's actually very easily done. I don't know if that's something we would want to do every month, but we can certainly present it.
Well, just to clarify the title.
Because it is a good visualization, because most of our trips occur 7 to 9 and 2 to 4.
Right.
I mean, that's the bulk of our trips.
Going back to my previous thing, though, if the trips are coming from, I'm just making it up, Century Village, between 7 and 9, and there's nothing in another part of the county. I just wanted to know that, that's all.
Okay. Now, page 13, this is April. Now, one thing we will start doing at the next LCB meeting is instead of having three individual monthly reports, we'll try to do like a quarterly report. As you'll see as we go through April, it does start to get repetitive. So I'll try not to repeat too much. Our weekday ridership for April did have a slight increase. It's up about 5%. Actually, our monthly ridership is up about 5%, and there was a slight increase in our average weekday ridership also. So being the total monthly ridership on page 15. Page 16 is a new report also to give you an idea of our productivity, to show you how we weren't as concerned with productivity in February and March. Again, our efforts were towards improving the service as quickly as we could, also through April, but then as we see in May and June, that's when we start to then reduce services out on the road to where we keep on-time performance high, but then also focus on productivity. Page 17, our on-time performance continued to increase through April. Page 18, accidents once again. You see our accident rate is starting to fall by this point. And then on 19, we also added to give you an idea of the accidents by vendor. So you can see a comparison there of how each one is tracking. Now 20 and 21, that gets into our road calls. And that's actually looking very good. As you see on page 21, we are below the standard. Then new to April, and again, we'll continue this. It's just a little different than March. We started to include our complaint ratio and the total number of complaints. Now, our complaint ratio on page 22 is higher than our standard, but we continue to see that trail off in the coming months. And our complaint ratio was at 5.6. So a lot of an effort's been made to bring that down. Page 23, this is our complaints by vendor and in some cases department. Give you an idea of how each company is doing individually. Now 24, we're supplying a breakdown of complaints by type. accommodations are really starting to go up for that month and continue to go up. Now, the highest complaint ratio was driver error, but what we did in the future months was we broke that out into individual categories to give you an idea of what driver error actually means. It was just kind of difficult to go back and change what, but we saw that as a need, and we changed it moving forward. Once again, our free ADA rides on page 25, you know, the growth has leveled off a little bit, but it still does continue to increase but slowly, so we're very happy about that and don't see any reason why we wouldn't continue that, and I will have Mike talk about page 26.
In April, we saw 21,079 bus passes, slight decline from the prior month. As I alluded to earlier, the charter schools did not make that one-time purchase in this month as they did in the prior month. And you can see the tri-wheel again dropped a little bit. So that would explain the difference from one month to another. Oh, in essence, we're pretty consistent from month to month. If you factor out those one-time purchases, we average about the same almost every month.
Now, page 27 is our late trip breakout. We continue to see improvements there through this month. And on page 28, you'll see that we did correct the title on page 28. So, but the numbers in that category pretty much stay consistent of 80% for ADA, TD 14%, DAS 6%. You know, that's one of the things. It's pretty consistent on a month-to-month basis. And with that, are there any questions?
I'm just looking at the report, and I just think for perspective, it would be really nice. I know this is a little extra.
The page?
I'm just looking at 20 for maintenance and kind of overall. Is that I think it's fair to give a percentage of like how many are in the fleet, because when you say that when it says like for first transit in March, they had 27 road calls, I think it's kind of interesting to say how many vehicles do they have out there? Because in relationship to their percentage of numbers on the vehicle, I mean, I think it's a fair representative for you to say, actually, that's only 5% of the overall fleet. I'm just talking about, like, a perception. I mean, I think it's a positive to, like, put people into perspective when you're dealing with, you know, just a raw number without any context. So it lets people know, well, that's 3%. It's not 25%. It's just a thought of the reporting process.
We can show, we can accomplish that by showing what each individual ratio is, and that'll give you an idea of breakdowns compared to how many miles they travel through the month.
It's fair. I mean, I think it fairly represents what goes on. So to drill it down, and it's in here in some other things, like even, you know, when it comes down to complaints by vendor. Okay, so if you have, you know, 200 first transit or whatever. How many rides do they do? Do they do 5,000 and they got 5,000 complaints? Or do they do 50,000 and they got 400 complaints? But I'm a percentage drill down person. You know, it gives everybody a perspective as to, is it really bad or it's not a big deal? You know, it just helps. When you tell the story and managing perception, it's not what you think. 500 and 5 million is something different.
Well, that's a good point. We'll do that. It's not a problem at all.
I have a suggestion as well. So between this graph and the one before, I think it'd be helpful if the...
What page are you on?
I'm on 19 and 20. So I think it'd be helpful if the key, like the company, stayed the same color. Because like you're looking at brown and B, and then on the next page they switch colors. So I think just to follow along. Mm-hmm.
Consistency. Yeah.
Bobby?
Okay. I said this to the people that represent Rick and the drivers have been very good about identifying themselves and helping you when you need it. I found that on the new vehicles, it's hard for me to get the seat belt from when I'm in the little chairs. In the big chairs, is not when I transfer, it's not real bad, but they come and they help me. They make sure that I'm in my seat belt. They make sure that I sign, that kind of thing. So the drivers are doing a very good job, and I just wanted to put that on the record. But I've already told everybody.
Thank you.
Else.
Okay. Next, we're going to have the 2015 TD recap, TD day recap.
Well, I think Larry probably would have been here to give that. I know you didn't go. So who did go? But I guess from the perspective of what I know, it was very successful. They had a good time. Everything went well. They saw all the legislators they wanted to. There was no big issue to advocate for. It was just for more transportation, better transportation, you know, get the word out, show everyone who rides and how it affects people's lives. So it was a very, very good trip. I know they're probably going to have a meeting soon for the next trip. So
when?
We have to figure that out. So I don't have much of an update.
Right,
the person with an update is not here right now. So.
Okay. Item 3B, we have struck out from the agenda. Next, we'll go on to 3C, and Luke will give us a presentation on the 2016 to 2020 TIP program.
So the one of the MPO's major functions is the Transportation Improvement Program. It's a five-year forecast of all the federally and state-funded projects in Palm Beach County. And we've gone a little above and beyond. We've reached out to all our municipalities and given them the opportunity, hey, if you have any transportation infrastructure projects, send them to us. We'll put them in our plan. And then you kind of get like a large level overview. This is how much money is being spent federally, state this much, and then locally. You know, the local dollars kind of are, they're a lot smaller, but at least you know if you're a resident, hey, my city is doing something for us. So we're in our comment period. This document will go before the MPO board on June 18th. And relative to this committee, the TD trip and equipment grant shows up in our TIP. So, you know, if anyone's interested, you could go into our TIP. We have it broken down by the sections in our LRTP. So there's like SIS projects, strategic intermodal system is your I-95s, turnpikes, 710, stuff that moves freight a lot. So we just have a bunch of different sections, and then the TD dollars show up under O&M for transit. So in there you could see Palm Trans money, you could see the Palm Trans Connection dollars, some of them. So I invite you to look at the TIP. We have a post on our website. If anyone's interested, I can email directly to them. But we're soliciting comments until June 16th, I think, Melissa?
Yeah.
Online
until June 16th. The meeting's the 18th. You can actually
feel free to mail in comments
to
anytime. Yeah.
Exactly.
Does anyone have any questions regarding item 3C? Any members first, and then.
Stanley?
I think we did discuss previously, and I did ask for you to do a summary of what is in the TIP right now for the future. In other words, what expansion of bus passes, what expansion of paratransit service, what do you have already committed for the next 5 years that concerns the people at this meeting? Not highways, not bridges, not docks. So would you just explain what's in store in the next 5 years to improve or expand the paratransit program?
Sure, I'll go through a couple of projects, and I think this section is really, it's probably five pages, so just go back up to the main page. So in the front there's a table of contents. You could click that and take you right to this operations and maintenance for transit section, and then this next page. All right, so the city of Boca Raton, they receive federal dollars for their shuttle service that they run. You know, they go out to Tri-Rail, pick up clients, and bring them, or typically they're commuters, but they have two routes, and this is a little bit of, this is some of the money that goes to that, that project. I think this is actually all the dollars. And you'll see that this is in 16, so it doesn't look like they have future funding. So either they're working with DOT to secure future funding, or it will have to become a self-sufficient service. The next few lines are the block grant for that Palm Train receives for their, I believe, this is operating for fixed route. So There's some DDR money, which is from FDOT. Local funds is what the county matches. And then DPTO is another, it's a central office, like the Department of Planning Transit Office or something like that. So further down, we have Section 5339, which is capital for bus and bus facilities. So this is to improve, the note here says, improve PalmTran admin maintenance operations facility. And you can see that this comes from the FTA, the Federal Transit Administration. Next page. Let's see. So Section 5307 is more capital money that goes to PalmTran. This one is from FTA as well. The next line is 5307, Section 5307, which is another form of the block grant that goes to PalmTran Connection from FTA. And that funds operations, correct, Charles?
Yes.
Let's see here. Section 5311, these dollars go to PalmTran for rural, for like the rural area. So there's an urban, 5307 is the urban area, and then 5311 is the rural area. And I don't know offhand, is that like one or two routes, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing, next line is 5311. Wrong way. Down three. One more. All right, the next line is the TD grant dollars that go before you. So what Mike alluded to earlier, the trip rates, that gets sent up to the state, and then they do their allocation. You know, the Florida legislature designates so much money towards a TD trust fund, and then it's apportioned throughout the counties. And this is the allocation that we get here, so $2.36 million. And then the county actually has to match 10% of that. So $262,000 comes from the county, comes from the general fund. All right, next is some gas tax funds that come from the county for PalmTran's operations. So, you know, you pay your gas taxes, and that money comes back and helps fund PalmTran. Next is the Route 73 extension. So this looks like dollars that came from FDOT, DPTO again. And, you know, you can find out all these fund codes. There's a glossary for all these. And then this also requires a 50-50 match. So whatever money FDOT's sending, you know, Palm Beach County matches that. All right, next item goes with Tri-Rail. So they receive, you know, some of the same monies, some of the same fund codes that go to PalmTran also go to Tri-Rail. So they have preventative maintenance monies that go to them. And this is from FTA. Next page. West Palm Beach Section 539 Trolley Shelter. I think this is an old project and they're spending the rest of the dollars in. But that's something that they applied for to FTA, and then this is like some money coming down to them. And the second one looks like the same project, or same type of project, but just a different line item. And then, can you go to page four? So that's a lot of different components just with transit. And then page four, we have an executive summary. So O&M Transit is 16.3% of all the dollars, federally, state, and local, that are being spent in Palm Beach County. And that's $317 million. So, you know, this is a good high-level overview, and then you can get project-specific. And if you're interested in other roadway projects, down on page 12 and 13, we put together a nice map. So it kind of gives you, you know, you could zoom in, find project numbers, do a search, and, you know, see what's being built in your backyard. Are there any questions? From the board first? Stanley?
Well, I just have a comment that having read all four of those things, with the need of improvement of PalmTran, that of course is being worked on with the need for more on-time service and expanded service, we're still, the PalmTran bus system is really 18 or 19 years old, except for some tweaking. It hasn't been that much changed. And PalmTran Connection, with all this to do and the expense, we have 3,000 trips a day between ADA, TD, and DOS, which is infinitesimal. So I'm wondering, I know that there's a huge unmet need for more transportation out there, and I guess it's up to either Connection or it's up to this board to make some provision for getting the word out to the public that the new Connection program with the new vehicles and the new dispatchers and the new everything is a good system now, and it's got to be offered to the public because there is a large unmet need there. So what I'm saying is that with all the money that comes through the MPO, what you showed there is not impressive in terms of expanding and improving both our bus service and our paratransit service. And of course, you have some things there that are South Florida regional transportation programs, right?
Tri-Rail, yes. Yeah. And let me explain. So the dollars in here, I mean, this is route development for an extension of PalmTran planning. Now, if you're interested in finding out that information, that's more in the TDP, which is separate. That's where they do a lot of their planning. So this is a document for funding, and there are some line items in here. I know that we're doing a transit signal priority on Route 42 and 63, Okeechobee Road and Lake Worth. Did I get those routes correct?
43 and 62.
43 and 62. So those are enhancements to Palm Beach County, you know, their signal timing to help improve PalmTran connection, you know? So that's when you can kind of see those capital projects. The planning side, you really need to look at the TDP, the Transit Development Plan. So that doesn't show up in this.
I know. How many pages is the TIP?
167.
And with a raise of hands, how many people actually on their computer or downloaded it, went through the 157 pages, and that's...
And I don't invite anyone to go through that. You should look at the table of contents, find the section that interests you. I mean, do some searches for keywords. If you live on Atlantic, you might want to search for Atlantic. You know, the tip, we have to show everything by federal statute and state statute. So that's what this is. I know it's not exactly easiest to read, but we do maps in the table of contents, and we do this executive summary to give you that overview in the first 11 pages. So,
thank you for the presentation.
Thanks.
Okay. Next, we're going to have Valerie with the Transportation Disadvantage Quarterly Progress Report.
Sure. So this is just our quarterly report on basically we have a grant as a planning agency and on the activities that we've completed for the grant. So it's just a report that we submit for that.
Speak louder, please.
So this item is just our quarterly report on the grant that we received to be the planning agency and updates on the activities we've completed in this quarter. So that includes the CTC evaluation, the amendment to the TDSP, this meeting, the local coordinating board meeting.
How much money is involved in that?
And this is the prior quarter? And
pardon?
This is the prior quarter because that's what we've completed.
First we're going to go through the board, and then we're going to go to a member of the summit.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the members? Oh, I didn't want to cut you off. Are there any questions from the board? Okay. To the members of the public? Stanley?
Well, how much money is involved in that?
The MPO receives like $48,000.
For that particular...
For the year.
For a full year. To staff this committee to run and do all the deliverables.
And I have to say, you guys have been doing an excellent job. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we're going to go to the Bicycle Greenway Pedestrian Advisory Committee.
So we just wanted to mention that we have a Bicycle Greenways Pedestrian Advisory Committee meeting every month at the NPO, and we invite members from the local coordinating board or anyone you know to participate and come to that meeting if you'd like. If you have any comments or would like to be, have a voice bicycle, greenways, pedestrian planning and activities. We just wanted to mention that happens the first Thursday of every month.
Thank you. Now we're going to go on to item 4A, member comments. Nancy?
Hi. I have two things I want to bring up. First of all, there's no delicate really way to say this, but with the passing of Larry, we need another member to our Section 5310 Advisory Committee. It's becoming a more of an involved committee that it requires probably three to four meetings a year, and we meet in just the district office on commercial. And you will be responsible for reading approximately 20 grant applications, scoring them each year, and being a part of that committee. And I'm just telling you straight up what, you know, it's not what's involved. Because some people have said, oh my goodness. And so that's a key part. And tied into that right now is that we released and closed down RFPs requesting applications for regional mobility managers. So one for a person for an agency that will work, one agency for both Broward and Palm Beach to work out things. And that is a very detailed three-page job description with deliverables. And we actually conducted interviews for agencies like that, applying for that yesterday. And we're doing that district-wide for us, Indian River Down. We're doing it in all the areas that Section 5310 funds. We're also doing that for our rural funding, which is Indian River through Palm Beach. And we are conducting those interviews next Wednesday. And the MPO is represented at the meeting, and PalmTran will be there interviewing the applicants for that. So it's going to be a more involved time period than in the past. And I just want to open that up to you and to let me know if you have any questions or who'd like to do it. I'll tell you honestly, in some cases, in some other LCPs, we've actually had two people who backed up each other. But I will be emailing information and that type of work.
And Nancy, so FDOT is kind of the staff that runs the committee, and then the MPO is represented, the CTC is represented, and then we need an LCB member.
And that's by written state management plan. Because the key thing, too, is that everyone's involved in making those decisions, because we had MAP 21 moving ahead towards progress, involving the local community, knowing what your transportation needs are, so that's why the money was more localized. And so we have funding pools that can only be used in Broward and Palm Beach, even if the dollar can't cross the line. So that's where the dollars work. And you know the community. And sometimes, you know, we tell you your outreach to the community that we may not be aware of. So it's a wonderful place to have a pulse on what's going on and the input. But it is involved. It's involved.
I wouldn't want to hold everybody else up for this conversation unless you want to, but maybe we can discuss after, too, the entire process, because we haven't had coordination contracts in the area, but I hear the issue is getting resolved that would allow us to have coordination contracts again, and supposedly they should have a coordination contract before they apply for the 5310, or at least be in the process, but, you know, if we reinitiate coordination contracts, that's probably, I think, something that should come before the local coordinating board, as opposed to us making the decision of should we even approve, say, yes, we agree with this grant application, just to, like, expand the process.
And that's what Broward does, St. Lucie brings before the LCB, because people can know in a group what everyone knows as a solo reader. Now we're glad to be working on that, reaching that goal.
Get there. Yes. But Nancy, you would like a member?
Oh, yes. I do need one. I need to. I like to have, you know, T's crossed, I's dotted on being in compliance. I'm really a compliance person, too. So having that involvement. Go for it. You know, get an email. But that's...
I could always help you. You could always call me with any questions. We'll disseminate all the information. We just need an LCB rep.
I'm in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
And do we all have backup person just in case? Quite seriously, anyone think about it? Let us know the next meeting. Another person. I just I'm like the plan B.
If you're possible.
So. Okay. Well, thank you.
Sorry. Did we?
No.
No.
I say no. Proudly.
Well,
okay,
thank you, Shay, for stepping up.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
That. Okay, are there more members from comments from members? Bobby?
I want to say how much we appreciate all of this information that you gave to us. Milton, you're doing a great job, except don't remember that. I mean, please remember, I don't have an email. You have to send it to me.
Oh, great.
All right, I've already marked my calendar for September.
Good. You'll get the packet. We mail the package out 7 days before, so it'll probably take a day or two in the mail.
That's
so.
Okay.
David Evans?
I have a question. Is there any information about how we're coming along with getting permits and everything for propane fueling at the carriers locations? I understand we were working towards getting permits pulled so that we could have a tank located on their properties.
Okay.
For refueling, because that's a little bit of an issue.
Are there any comments?
It is progressing. Hopefully, maybe by the time we meet again, it will be up and running, but it's slowly progressing. And something, yeah, we want very much also.
Any more member comments? Any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none. Our next meeting will be September 9th, and I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Bob Valentine,
okay,
second by David Ovitz.
Okay.
All in favor?
Bye.
All right. Everybody have a great